Welcome to Massive Late Fee. And now your hosts, Mark and Carol.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome back to Massive Late Fee. My name is Mark. With me as always is my wife, Carol. How are you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
How much it's been... I don't know, it seems weird to think, say it's been a great week.
It hasn't.
It is April 22nd, 1999. This is Massive Late Fee, but unfortunately, we talk about the news. Usually we talk about the...
Entertainment
news, but obviously the big story is the shooting at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. Two students killed about a dozen and then themselves. So heavily armed young men in black trench coats. Littleton is a suburb of Denver.
Okay.
I guess 25 dead, 23 others.
25.
Injured. Basically the worst school shooting in the history of the nation. The gunmen were both juniors, found in the library. Apparently that's where most of the damage took place. Sheriff John Stone says, suicide mission. They did not name the gunman as of yet, the media in Denver has named them. We're not going to name them because we don't think that they should get any notoriety. Students said they belong to a clique called the Trenchcoat Mafia, a group of about a dozen students and former students who wore long black coats every day. Students said the group wore swastikas and like to discuss Adolf Hitler.
Oh, my God.
Tuesday, April 20th, was Hitler's birthday. So
Hitler was born on 420.
Correct.
Interesting.
One of the least cool things about that day. They also said they found some kind of like propane bomb or something like that. In the school, there was, I guess the police department is saying that they had planned not just a shooting, but like to basically destroy the entire school.
Oh my God,
like
wow.
Like an apocalyptic event.
Well, I mean, that'd be an apocalypse of a very small
Well, world, yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, but.
Total damage, total destruction.
Yeah, pretty horrifying
stuff.
That is
absolutely horrifying.
So. That's the beginning of our comedy show, everyone.
I'm so sorry for everyone in Littleton and everyone who lost someone.
Unfortunately, this will, not talk about politics or whatever, guys, because we believe whatever you believe, whatever that crazy thing you believe is, we believe it too. But in the paper, I saw mostly it's just debating different sides of the coin here. There was one, they do those political cartoons. There was one political cartoon that said, thousands of years ago, primitive cultures sacrificed their youth on the altar of gods. And it said they still do. And it was an altar that said the right to bear arms. And it was like a statue of a gun. So it's basically saying,
wow.
Yeah. And then there are people that are saying, like, schools need to be educated about safety and stuff like that. You know, when things like this happen, nobody's safe. Do the guns cause violence or, blah, 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 all that stuff. So it's the age old debate and it's raging on in the newspaper.
And I don't feel like this is a political, it shouldn't be a political issue.
I don't either.
It's just something horrifying that you would think would just bring people together, but
yeah, unfortunately that's not what happens. But you know what does bring people together?
What babe?
Is Leonardo DiCaprio being attacked by a shark.
What?
Women of the world, give thanks. Hollywood heartthrob Leonardo DiCaprio was forced to swim for his life in shark-infested waters off Thailand when the boat he was in started to sink during filming of The Beach.
Hmm.
In a clear case of life-imitating art, the star of the film Titanic had to leap into the ocean Friday after a monsoon whipped up high waves, flooding the boat and dragging it out to sea. DiCaprio, his British co-star Tilda Swinton, and crew members spent 30 minutes in the water before rescuers arrived.
Wow.
So, no one gives a fuck about his co-star Tilda Swinton, who also was in shark-infested waters.
Nobody got hurt, though, right?
No.
Good.
British composer and recent Detroit visitor. Wow. Andrew Lloyd, I'm sure he puts that on his resume. Frequent Detroit visitor Andrew Lloyd Webber has finalized a deal to buy back a 30% stake in his really useful group from Canada's Seagram Company for about $75 million. Montreal-based Seagram acquired the holding in Really Useful, which administers the copyrights on musicals including Cats, Phantom of the Opera, and Sunset Boulevard as part of its takeover of the music group Polygram last year.
Phantom of the Opera is fucking amazing. That is my favorite music or opera.
I know you love it.
And I got to see it in Toronto.
Now here's a new concept, Carol.
Hmm.
Cross Helen Hunt with Paul Reiser and you get Janine Garofalo?
I mean, apparently.
The comedian will appear as a grown-up version of Jamie and Paul Buckman's daughter Mabel on May 24th's final episode of Madness About You.
We've got to watch that.
Yeah, maybe we should actually like talk about the final episode.
I want to.
Of Mad About You because
put it in the calendar.
We like that. I'll put it in the calendar. We like that show. And we don't talk about sitcoms that we watch anymore. We still watch Friends for those of you that ask incessantly. Yeah. We still watch Friends, we still watch Mad About You, I still watch my tapes of Wings. But no, we still watch TV. We just don't talk about it that much.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many hours in the day. We both have full-time jobs, so.
Mm-hmm. And we don't, like, we can't, this show would be 3 hours long if we talked about everything we watched.
That's true.
But speaking of length and width and height, the area of,
where is this going?
The area of this show is talking about I don't know, never been kissed. So that's a math problem that she probably had to although we never see her in math class.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly enough.
Yeah, so
anyway,
interesting segue there.
Drew Barrymore, former bad girl, drug addict and I don't know, Hollywood scion, has reinvented herself as the girl next door. And now she wants us to buy that she is a virginal, frumpy, nothing person.
So, okay. She is gorgeous and talented.
Sure.
And, like, I had no idea that she was, like, a bad girl. And it's kind of weird to even think about that because she pretty much always does play good girl roles.
Now.
Would she? Oh, well, I guess like Poison Ivy, she was.
Yeah, you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
You ever seen her, like, in the tabloids?
See, I don't pay attention to tabloids.
I know
much.
You don't. You're regular Steve Sanders in that way. that's a reference to our 90210 tapes, everyone. Check them out.
Right.
But no, we watched Never Been Kissed.
So, I've been dying to ask you.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
My thoughts on this movie are complex, so I can't give you just an answer.
Like, did you like it or not?
I don't know. It was okay. There was things about it I liked. There was things about it I don't like. I think I don't want to say it's a mess, but it's messy. It's a messy movie.
Why?
It's not a well-structured film.
Okay.
The director is essentially a first-time director, one other feature before this, and the writers also first-time writers. They have Gary Marshall in this, you know, playing a role, playing the role that he normally plays, which is asshole leader of a company. That's what he plays in every single fucking thing he's ever in.
Yeah, he is definitely typecast.
All he does, if he's not directing a movie or creating Happy Days, he's just walking around a long table being like, ah, you're fired. But I kept thinking to myself, wow, if this movie was in the hands of a seasoned director like Gary Marshall, I think this could have been a much better film.
Okay.
Is it a romantic comedy?
Yes.
It doesn't seem like it that much. It almost seems like a teen comedy, but with a group of people that are not teenagers.
Okay, but there is a overarching romantic plot.
I suppose, but we don't get much between the... Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Like I said, this movie is a mess, and there's plot holes all over the place, and there are elements, plot elements that get picked up and then just dropped and not even really talked about that much. There's a lot of elements going on in this. I think the biggest detriment of the movie is there are a bunch of story threads, and there's too much. Nothing gets enough time to really have any weight. So there's the relationship with her. Everybody.
Slow down.
Drew Barrymore is Josie Grossi.
Okay, Josie...
something that starts with a G.
I don't know. But
Josie Glennon.
No. Grossman, maybe?
It's not. I don't remember what it is. It doesn't matter. Her name is Josie.
Josie. So she is a copywriter for a newspaper, and she wants to be...
Copy editor, yes.
Copy editor. And she wants to be a reporter, but they keep taking her story ideas and giving them to reporters, but not letting her write the stories.
Yeah.
Which seems sexist... and wrong and whatever.
I guess. I don't know. Her boss is played by John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
And her best friend is Molly Shannon, who's good in this movie playing, like, but she, again, doesn't get enough to do, I don't think. She has a couple, like, silly scenes where she's a whore, basically.
And where she's teaching sex ed, even though she's not a teacher.
Yeah, it's so weird. But she's good because she has that kind of, she's like the female Chris Farley almost, where she's like not quite as big a physical, well, yeah, physical comedy is her forte, really.
I don't think she did much physical comedy in this movie.
It's the faces, it's the motions.
Okay, you say so.
Yeah, I do say so.
But
it's not all pratfalls for physical comedy, that's all I'm saying.
Okay. But at their meeting, the guy you were talking about...
Gary Marshall.
Yeah. He just, like, wants to do an article about what it's like to be in high school and points her and is like, you enroll next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doesn't even know who she is.
Yeah. Just because she looks young. Because she's, like, frumpy looking.
She's supposed to be 25. I don't know how old Drew Barrymore is in real life, but...
And apparently, like, I don't know, being... I don't know, like, just... She looks awful. Like, as awful as Drew Barrymore can look. And that to him says young. I don't really understand.
It's weird, yeah. Because she's all buttoned up and looking frumpy. She looks like the typical librarian.
She's got her hair like in a knot in the back and stuff, yeah.
And she's correcting people's grammar all the time.
And she thinks it's hilarious because she's a giant dork.
Yeah. But so she ends up going back to high school. I don't know how this is possible. Did they go into the criminal underground and forge documents for her to appear to be 17? Because I don't think this is legal in any way.
I mean, okay, 21 Jump Street, like, the school knows that they're undercover cops, right?
Is that the plot of 21 Jump? I've never seen the show 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, there's undercover cops in the high school.
Great.
I thought. I mean,
I don't know. I know Richard Grieco's was in it, and Johnny I know Depp. Johnny Depp was in it. And I know they're undercover cops. I didn't realize they were in a high school.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're pretending to be high school students. That's where they're undercover.
That's awesome.
So, but since they're, like, pulling this on the school, too, that is weird. I think you're right. They would have had to get illegal documents. I mean, like, you're like, this can't be legal, but, like, it doesn't have to be. Reporters break the law sometimes to get their stories, don't they?
I guess. But, like, I mean, what I'm saying is, like, could I just go to a high school and be like, I'm researching a story. I want to pose as a high school student.
No, nobody asked permission.
Obviously. So, like, how did this happen?
So, I don't know. She got enrolled, though.
It seems really easy to enroll in a school and fuck teenagers.
Okay, nobody fucked a teenager.
Well, that we know of.
They did not have sex.
Anyway, so then, so she enrolls in the school. Now I'm going to get to my overarching point. Then we can get into whatever minutiae you want to get into about the movie, okay?
Okay.
At first, she's friends with the dorky kids, like she was in high school, even though she's trying to be friends with the popular kids, because that's where the story is, apparently. But no, she can't get in with the popular kids, because they all think she's a dork.
Because she is.
So she has this relationship with Libby Sobieski, or whatever the hell her name is, the head dork girl, right?
The head dork girl, okay.
But, they have a mathlete group called the Denominators.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
And she invites her to be part of it, and then she's wearing a shirt, like, all around school, like, walking around with them. And she looks so happy because, like, she found her people. Whereas in high school, we see all these flashbacks. She was just a giant dork, and she didn't really have people. I think that makes a difference.
Yeah, I guess that's true, yes.
But she shouldn't be walking around in that fucking shirt ever. It's awful.
But then she gets her brother to enroll in the school and make her popular. So then she's with the popular people. And then we see one scene of them in the mall, and she's like, oh, look, another lemming or whatever to Drew Barrymore's character, to Josie. And it's like there was not enough scenes there between the two of them to establish a close enough friendship for this to feel like a betrayal. It doesn't feel like a betrayal. I don't feel anything for either side of this equation. I don't feel like, oh, Drew Barrymore's a bitch and what's her name is right. Or, oh, like, you know, she's just being judgmental or whatever and, like, let Drew Barrymore live her life. Like, I don't feel anything for either side of this argument because there's not enough there, because then we have to have her reading poetry from As You Like It or whatever, and getting this English teacher all horned up.
Okay, can you slow the fuck down for a second?
No, I don't want to slow. I'm telling you, I'm trying to see. This is what you're not getting. I'm trying to explain the different plot elements that I think there are too many of that nothing's coherent. I'm trying to make an overarching point. Then I said you can get into the minutiae of everything. But so she's like, she's trying to have her, like, this guy likes her or whatever. The teacher likes her. It seems like he's falling in love with her. He's got a crush on her. But we don't get enough scenes between the two of them for that to really, like, feel anything. Like, we're supposed to want those two to end up together? That's why I asked if it was a romantic comedy. There's no romance there. They don't have enough scenes for me to even fucking care. And then there's this teenage guy that she likes or whatever, that reminds her of the teenage guy that she liked in high school. But there's not enough scenes between them for me to even care about that. And then they've got her brother and his baseball dreams, and there's not enough scenes of that for me to care about any of that either. There's so many things going on. They're packing so many different things. They give her two love interests. That's part of the problem of this movie. They, like, that's right there. That's a structural problem with the film. That is a story problem. You gave her two love interests. If you're going to do that, then that's all your movie's about. From that point on, is about, who does she choose? You know, does, like, and you make some kind of statement, like, where she, yeah, you can be all pissed off at me or whatever, but I'm trying to make a point. That you know, she's the young guy represents her past and how, like, she felt bad, and the new guy represents her future and how she grows, or, like, she never got past this point, and, you know, she needs to let go and move on to the adult person that she is now or whatever. So you structure the film like that. You make that the main structure. You don't worry about the dork girl. You don't worry about the popular girls. You don't worry about anything else. That's enough to focus a film on. There's too much other shit going on.
Okay, but can I talk now? First of all,
yeah. I know you were waiting to be fucking snarky and shit, but you kept trying to interrupt me, and I said I wanted to make my overarching point.
So the problem with your overarching point is that, like, this is supposed to be about high school, and you're looking at it from an adult's perspective. So what we see between her and the dork girl is enough for a teenage girl, like, to form a good friendship, because she reached out to her. She was there for her. Like, she helped her when she came to class. She had somebody to sit with. She invited her to the club. That's all you need to know, really. And there was the time they were driving around together. I don't remember why they were driving around together. They went to a party or something?
I don't know. Eh. Maybe that's a problem. That you don't even remember what was going on in that scene.
Well, her little sister was in the back seat.
Yep.
And they drove by a party that was going on, but they were going somewhere else, I think.
Oh, yeah. They drive by this party that's happening and, like, I don't know, a quarry or something like that. And it's like, this is where all the cool people hang out and stuff like that. And she's like, we wouldn't be caught dead here or whatever. And then her boss, John C. Reilly, the next day is like, look at this fucking in the Tribune, this article where all the cool kids are hanging out. It's this quarry. And it's like, what does the fucking Chicago Tribune give a shit where 16-year-olds are hanging out?
That's a very good question.
Like, why is that a story?
Yeah, I mean, his obsession with, like, high school and stuff is weird. Like, yes. What does he think's going on in the high school?
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. But yeah, so that scene happened. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense logically. Yeah, for a teenage girl, that's enough or whatever to start forming a friendship. What I'm saying is we don't get enough of the two of them together for us to care. I don't even feel like I know the dork girl character. I don't feel like I know her at all, other than the fact that she's, like, basically her character is a caricature of a dorky girl in high school. That's it. That's all I know about her. I don't, like, does she have parents? Do we know anything about her little sister? There's that one scene of her little sister. I don't know if she has parents. I don't know if her parents are divorced. I don't know if she's having problems.
We don't know that about our main character.
Exactly. Like, we know that she has parents because she mentions that her brother still lives with the parents. But it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't need to know every single aspect of her life. But I don't see their relationship. We don't see hardly any scenes of their... We see a little bit of their relationship form. We don't see any of it grow. We don't know anything about them. I don't feel like I know... I barely feel like I know the main character.
I mean, I guess I will give you that her liking the high school boy comes out of nowhere, kind of. Like, obviously, yes, she's attracted to him, and he reminds her of the guy she liked in the past. We see that in the flashbacks that he triggers. But him all of a sudden being interested in her and them spending time together comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. That comes out of nowhere. And it's like, and what's the point of it even?
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, so if you want your film to not be about that, then don't even have that character. Like, she can still have flashbacks. And that's the thing. I'd almost rather have seen a movie that took place in the 80s about her, like, overcoming this or whatever, almost. Because, like, those are the only things I really felt like. The only scene that really hit me, the only scene I really cared about, is when they concoct this plan to fuck her over by making her think that the big popular guy that she likes, because she wrote a poem about him.
That was so stupid.
That he's going to ask her out to prom. And she gets all dressed up and she's all excited and stuff like that. And he pulls up in a limousine, and he takes eggs and throws them at her. And part of the reason why this hits so bad is because Drew Barrymore is a really good actress. And she just starts sobbing, and it's like, it's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And that scene was well written, well acted, and I cared about what was happening in that scene. But there's not enough of scenes like that in the movie. You have a rich, vein of subject matter, high school, and how horrible it can be for some people. And I don't feel hardly anything about it. That's the thing, too. I think maybe they didn't know exactly what kind of tone they wanted to go for. As a light comedy, it's fine. You know, it's not the best, but it's as a light comedy, there are some funny things that happen and everything, and it's decent. But, because of that, it feels so surface. I don't get a depth of feeling of any of these other plot elements they're talking about, like the trauma that she's gone through and stuff like that. Like, she says, you know, towards the end of the movie that she feels like that event defined her, and she's never really moved beyond that. Well, I don't get any of that in the movie because it just seems like, you know, it just seems like a very light comedy, except for the few creepy fucking things that happen, like the teacher that wants to fuck her.
See, and you said that you don't think there's enough there for that, but I mean, I think the whole time, every interaction they have, it's there.
They have good chemistry. Mm-hmm. Her and this guy on screen have good chemistry, and because of that, it's a decent shorthand for what's going on. They show, a quick montage of things, and then, painting or whatever, and, getting paint on each other.
Being flirty.
Yeah. So, we see, some flirty stuff. It's very inappropriate shit for him. From his perspective, mm-hmm. she's supposed to be 17. And his student.
But she's also about to graduate from high school. And, unless he's checking her birthday, she could even be 18. I mean, we know she's going for 17. But, I mean, truly, and she's 25 years old. So she looks like she's 25 years old. So it's not, shame on him for being attracted to her. I think it probably happens a lot where teachers find seniors in high school attractive because they're almost adults. I mean, obviously they can't do anything about that because that would be inappropriate.
And he doesn't.
Yeah.
And I mean, not entirely anyway.
I mean, he makes the one comment that was pretty damn inappropriate.
Yeah. Well,
when they're on a why are they even in a Ferris wheel together?
It's senior night and she got in the Ferris wheel and she was getting in by herself because this is when she was still a dork or whatever before her brother magically can also just join school and join the baseball team and no one checks anything. is this the Mexican League or something like that? I've heard of that where it's the 16 and under league and stuff like that. And they get 21-year-olds and I'm 16 or whatever in some of these South American leagues. And then they come to the United States and no one knows how old they really are. They get in the Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. There's a couple Major League Baseball players from Puerto Rico or something like that, where it's according to their birth certificate or whatever, they're 25, but they're pushing 30 now. They're ready mm-hmm. to retire, you know? But anyway, so she gets on the Ferris wheel and the fucking carnival barker's an asshole. And he's just oh, we got a loner here by herself. Oh, she's all alone. Fuck this girl. She's a fucking loser or whatever. And he hears that. So he comes over, he's like, oh, I'm in here with her or whatever, and then he sits down with her.
Yeah, but, you know, that's you don't ride the Ferris wheel with just anybody.
I guess not, but he's afraid of heights.
Yeah.
So he gets on there, even though he's afraid of heights, just for her.
Yeah.
And then says, oh, you know, when you're my age or whatever, guys will be lining up around the block for you.
And she's like, you're just saying that because you're my teacher.
No, she says you have to say that.
Oh, you have to say that.
Because you're my teacher, which is a weird thing to say. That's a line. They came up with the line, no, I shouldn't say that because I am your teacher. They came up with that line first. And they were like, how do we prompt that out of him? Because it's a weird thing to say. You have to say that because you're my teacher. If a teacher said to you, hey, you're real fuckable and cute, would you be like, you have to say that because you're my teacher?
Well, I mean, she was feeling down, so I get it. I get why she said that.
I guess.
He was trying to make her feel better.
But anyway, so the whole thing's kind of inappropriate, though. It's weird.
Yeah, but it isn't, because she is an adult, and we know that the whole time, which makes it a lot less creepy.
And then when he finds out she's an adult, he's mad.
Well, Well, wouldn't you be?
If I found out that the underage girl that I wanted to fuck was actually of age, no, I don't think I'd be mad about that.
Well, I mean, he feels lied to. Plus, the way he finds out, he thinks that she was writing a story about him, like she was setting him up or whatever.
Because that's what they wanted him to do. They wanted her to. They're like, he's like, this is your story.
Yeah.
This teacher wanting to fuck you.
Because they start putting a camera on her, and they're all watching her all day when she's at school, and so they figure out he has a crush on her. Which is
That's also weird. She's just got a camera on her all the whole time.
Yeah.
They watch her throw up.
Yeah. And, like, she goes to... They're always doing surveillance. Like, she goes to a club.
Surveilling is correct,
yes. Surveilling.
Yeah, she goes to a club.
Yeah, she goes to a club and has, like, a pot brownie, and they're like, oh, no. Like, watching her eat it. But they can't talk to her. Like, they should be in her ear if they were going to watch her. So they'd be like, hey, slow down.
I thought they were supposed to be.
They weren't. No, they never were saying anything to her.
Because I thought John C. Reilly said something like, you know, just I'll be in your ear or whatever. I thought he said that. But he wasn't. You're right. He never was. But I thought. And so then, like, everyone at the Chicago Sun-Times or whatever is just sitting there watching the movie, basically.
But it's not, that's the thing, though. It's not the movie. It's all the boring parts, and it's from her perspective. They're watching her sit through a day of high school.
Yeah.
Like, there's the occasional interesting moment, but, I mean, that's like sitting through high school classes. Who wants to watch that?
Yeah, it's weird. But, so, yeah, he finds out that she's actually of age, because she doesn't want to destroy his life or whatever, right? So then he's like, he's moving. That's another thing, too. Like, that comes out of nowhere. Why is he moving?
Well, he broke up with his girlfriend. He tells her that at prom. I think that he was going to tell her that he liked her before everything went down at prom. Like, she went to prom. I guess
it is the end of the school year, so.
Yeah, she went to prom with the boy that, you know, she liked weirdly.
Guy. His name is Guy, helpfully.
And then we see that he and the three ditzy girls that are supposed to be popular, dressed like Barbie, are going to pour dog food on her friend who's dancing with him.
Ridiculous.
So she turns off her camera because the teacher's going to talk to her. And then all of a sudden, like, he's like, I got to tell you something. And then she sees that happening. We have no idea what he's going to tell her. And that never comes back up.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think that's he was going to admit that.
So I think he told her he broke up with his girlfriend, and I think that the moving happened because it was, like, out there.
I guess.
Like, that he liked her. I think he was, like, gonna leave because he's embarrassed.
He might have
gotten fired. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, she stops the dog food from happening, and then ends up splattering all over the girls. And then she gives this impassioned speech about how, like, she's really 25 years old, and all these people are fucking weirdos, and that high school is dumb and doesn't matter, basically.
Yeah, well, it's true.
And then, so then she's like, I've got a great article, though. You know, I'm not doing the rapist article, but I've got a great article here. And she basically writes about her experiences, which is fine.
That's what she was supposed to do.
But what I think is funny is that the team that her little brother was on is going to the state championship. They're in the state championship game. Mm-hmm. And she goes up to the coach and she's like, Coach, let me ask you a question. You've heard of this reporter or whatever? Oh, everybody's heard of him. Yeah, I'd love if he came out to a game. She's like, what if I could guarantee you that he and a bunch of other people from the media are going to come out to the game? And he's like, okay, what's your idea? And her idea is, she, in the article, basically says, like, hey, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to hurt you. Why don't you come and kiss me on the pitcher's mound?
Give me my very first real kiss.
Before the game, right? And so they get there, and there's just media everywhere and stuff like that. And the coach is like, I never thought there'd be so many media here. You're the state championship. You didn't think people were going to cover this anyway?
Right.
Like, what the fuck? This is not just some game. This is the state championship of Illinois.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense that they need extra media coverage. This couldn't be bigger for them from a sporting perspective. It's just really weird.
But then they get everybody else turning out who doesn't care about sports because they also want to see if he shows up to kiss her.
Sure, but what does that do for the baseball team? Do you really think that those people are going to be like, oh, and the baseball was good too, or whatever? like I'm going to now follow this high school baseball team because of this one incident. Like, what is this supposed to do for them?
It probably was supposed to like draw out recruiters and stuff.
But it's the state championship, so all the people are going to be there.
I don't know.
That care about it in the sports world.
Fine, whatever.
It doesn't make any sense.
She did nothing. Then. Yeah.
No, she did stuff, but not to help them. There's no reason why he would agree to this.
I guess.
So, she weirdly sets a 5-minute timer and waits the entirety of the 5-minute timer.
On the pitcher's mound?
Yes, that's correct. Very good.
Yeah, so everybody's watching and waiting, and he doesn't show up when the timer goes down.
Do you know what they call the pitching mound and where the catcher stands? The pitcher and the catcher. Do you know what they call that? The battery.
Okay.
Just fun fact there for you.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. He doesn't show up. You're correct. And everyone's like, oh, fuck him.
And she drops the microphone, and she's all sad, and she just shrugs, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think she should have said something.
I feel like someone in the audience should have been like, oh, curse you!
Right? But then he comes running in, and he's like, it took me forever to get here. Mm-hmm. After he kissed her. And she's like, me too, or something. What did she, was that right?
Yeah, something like that. Me too, it's or stupid. So did I, or whatever, I don't know.
It's stupid. It's a stupid line. I hate it. I hate that ending. Like, I like that he showed up to kiss her. I feel like the being, like, late like that should have been like, well, you know, I had to, like, make you wait or so. Like, because, like, retaliation for her fucking with him or something. But
I don't know.
It took me forever to get here. Okay, whatever. Like, it was just stupid.
Yeah, like, leave earlier. plan a little bit for traffic, you know? It is the state championship, after all.
Do you think they're going to live happily ever after?
I mean, they're like they have a media spotlight on them at this point. I don't know. I guess.
I mean, they definitely had a lot in common.
Does he know the difference between nauseated and nausea?
I'm sure he does.
Nauseated and nauseous.
I'm sure he does.
Because she does. And I was so happy about that.
I know. It's your biggest pet peeve in the world. When people say they are
just
nauseous instead of nauseated.
Just for everyone out there. Nauseated means feeling sick to your stomach. Nauseous is something that makes you sick to your stomach.
So when you say I'm nauseous, it means you're gross.
Yeah, it means you make people sick to their stomach. And when you use that word incorrectly, you're right.
And I did not know this until he told me.
So just FYI out there for everybody.
But the movie brought it up.
Yeah, I love it.
Very great moment for you, I know.
Actually, honestly, 5 stars. Best movie ever. Because it did bring that up. I forgot about that. That bumps it up at least a full point, in my opinion. But like I said, I didn't... There were roots. There were seedlings of good things in this movie. But I don't think that they ever got enough air to breathe. They never got enough to fully bloom, for me, personally. But it wasn't bad. Like, the acting's good, and everything... I mean, if Drew Barrymore was in this movie fails. 100, completely. This movie is not written well enough to survive someone that's not as charming as Drew Barrymore.
Sure.
Like, it's just not possible. But, like, yeah, there, like I said, there were things that were good about it. I feel like the direction just wasn't sure-handed enough. And the writing is, like I said, it's basically a first-time director and a first-time writing team. I feel like they might have good things in the future because there's definitely the seeds of something good here. But I think... You have a first-time writer, you pair them with someone that's a little more sure-handed. Like the last movie we did, Go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a first-time screenwriter, although that's a really tight script. But you get Doug Liman, who's done another movie, who's done Swingers, who has some experience and has a definite visual style and a control over his film. And I felt like this was a little bit too much amateur, you know, to me.
Okay, so I hear you. and you've made valid points, but different perspective for those of us who aren't super technical. Mm-hmm. It was a very enjoyable movie. Like, if you didn't sit there and, like, harp on every possible thing that you could criticize and get stuck in every plot hole, it was a fun ride. It was enjoyable. I liked watching it. I liked her character. I liked the outfits they put her mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
I liked watching her transform.
Yeah.
It was cool. I was, like, rooting for her the whole time. Like, I was on pins and needles as to how things were going to work out. Like, I enjoyed it very much.
There's a lightness to the movie that is enjoyable. But, like, I would contrast it with something like You've Got Mail.
Okay.
Which we saw. You've Got Mail, there is more depth to the characters in the writing. And there's more depth to the dynamic between the two of them and what their particular hang-ups are mentally, each other. What you know, kind of like how they need to change and everything. And there's more of a growth in a character arc. She has a growth in a character arc, and nobody else really does. Like, it's, you know. And her character arc is good, but I don't think it's fully fleshed out either. Because she just kind of tells us, she's like, I feel like this event defined me or whatever. But you don't see that a lot in the movie. And that's, I don't know, that's a problem. Eh. But I didn't hate it either. Like, that's the thing. There was enough good in the movie that it carries it through. In the free press, Terry Lawson gave it 2 stars out of 4. Well, that's like, you know, it's midway. 2 out of 4. And I think that's probably appropriate. I think it's a 2 out of 4 star movie.
Huh. Okay.
I couldn't give it 4 for sure.
And I'd say 3.
And I don't think I could give it 3. Maybe 2.5.
I'd give it 3.
But anyway, I mean, that's, you know, we have a slight difference of opinion, I think, on it. But I would say wait to rent it. I don't think it's necessarily worth going out to the theater to see it. But I don't think you need to avoid it completely. So I would say rent it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the theater enhances it, but it's definitely worth seeing.
All right, well. So that is the episode, though. That's what's all the news that's fit to print, or whatever they say.
So you can write us at latefee1994@aol.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Do that as well.
Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/retrolatefee.
We'll kill you if you don't.
And share the tapes with your friends.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.